lose your form. Stay on the scene. You got to have the feeling. Sure you
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. Yeah, it's just Greg. Well, kind of just Greg. Mr. Crenshaw is on the road, but he will be joining us, posed on the other side of the glass. We're going to visit there later on in the hour, but it's just one of those mornings. And I was talking to Sam earlier this week, by the way. Good morning. Hope you had a good week. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. This is a strange weekend. Not strange in that, you know, something bad's going to happen. In that this is a transient weekend. You got a bunch of people coming to town. You got a bunch of people leaving town. And most folks that were leaving town checked out yesterday. So for those of you that just got to town, I want to welcome you to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Maybe you're being forced to listen to the station by whoever you're visiting. You're in the car, whatever. We're glad to have you. But this is, in a lot of ways, the beginning of one of the best weeks in this country. I look at it this way because, you know, you got this holiday that takes up 2 days. And that gives you an excuse for a long weekend. And of course, next weekend with Thanksgiving. But people use that as an excuse to mentally check out for the whole week. And since we're going to be checked out the whole week, there's no point in waiting until Monday. We start over the weekend, which means the weekend starts on Friday. So people were packing up their desks and getting ready to get on out of here yesterday. Came through the office, had to pick up something. I mean, there were a whole lot of empty desks. And it was also a whole lot of traffic on the road. So, again, be very, very, very careful out there. I just getting started. We're going to hear from Sam. He's with Georgia State. Colin from North Carolina. He said he's going to be up. We'll see. But he is going to join us. There's a couple things that happened this past week that I want to get his perspective on. But I'm going to throw this out to everybody. And please, give me a call. Let me know what the answer to this is. But where am I getting my upset today? In college football. Where's it coming from? Because something's got to happen. This is one of the most boring college football seasons. I mean, unless you have a connection to a certain school, for the most part, it's been pretty boring. The usual suspects are up at the top. There were no upsets last week. There's been no real big upsets throughout this season that we can hang our hat on. I mean, the first one I can think of, it really wasn't an upset, but you had the season starting off with Notre Dame and Michigan. And the upset is that Michigan has run the table since that loss against Notre Dame. I mean, nobody expects it to come from UMass for the Bulldogs. And these guys are sitting back there in that five position, waiting to see who above them loses. Does it Notre Dame? Yeah. I mean, I don't see it. I don't know who's going to get upset. But somebody's got to get upset. Somebody's got to move this needle and get some upheaval at the top. I've said this, you know, well, somebody told it to me, so I can't take credit for it. But there is nothing more boring than perfection. You want to achieve it, but as you watch it, there's nothing more boring than it. So we got Alabama, we got Clemson at the top, and of course you got the phrase, you got the Roy phrase, everybody else after that. But I want to know, 404-741-0929, do you think an upset, as Sam likes to say, this is cupcake weekend. Where's this upset coming from? So anyway, that's one of the things I'm going to keep revisiting throughout the show. Bo, I want to bring you in on this. Did you see what happened between Ed Oliver and Major Applewhite?
I did.
When's the last time you heard anybody at this station or yourself bring up the name of Major Applewhite?
It's been a minute.
Exactly.
Which might be kind of what led to this whole thing.
I mean, I think
unless he's that petty. I don't know.
Well, I think we agree he handled it badly. And then you can shake your head at what Ed Oliver's doing, but that's the nature of the players in all sports today. But here's what I want to get to. When's the last time you saw a blow up on the sidelines that you actually kind of went, ooh, that was nice? And we've seen some. So that's what got me. Let's take this to the next level. Let's run down some of these blow ups. And then there's one locally, and I can't wrap my mind around it. And I want to say it was, who used to be defensive line coach for the Falcons? Who went sideways on a second-year player. You remember that? He played for the Jets. He played for, everybody's screaming at the radio. Anyway, it'll come to me in a second. But it got me thinking about some of the best sideline blow-ups that I've seen in a while. How far back you want to go? You want to go back to Strawberry and Keith Hernandez? You want to go back? We could go back, or just a few years ago, Jonathan Papelbon and a free agent right now. Talking about Bryce Harper. That's the fun stuff. Because you know it's not going to be anything really.
Talking about Brian Cox.
Thank you. Brian Cox. Yeah. He went sideways.
That was good.
I think it was Coach Dan Quinn's first year. And Brian Cox got into it with one of the linemen. Anyway, it was broken up. Of course, Brian Cox was gone shortly thereafter. But what is this guy Major Applewhite thinking? Houston is doing, it's trying to get other guys like him. And they see this pettiness going on. About having this dude wear this coat, okay? There's the rule. You can institute some rule with a guy who's your best player. Now, mind you, he's pretty much checked out, much like I was talking about. People have checked out for this Thanksgiving weekend. But what's the upside? Especially doing it on TV. And you know you're on camera. Wait till halftime. Have a conversation. But obviously, he didn't want to stand up to this dude. And had, actually, because initially, he had somebody else talking to him, telling him to take it off. And then Applewhite walked by and, you know, kind of tried to pull it off him, which was mistake number one and the biggest mistake, by putting his hands on him and trying to pull it off him. So this dude's checking out Ed Oliver because he knows he's in the top 10 as far as draft picks. And, you know, he's not trying to get injured. He's not trying to have an Ed Reed situation happen. Was it Ed Reed? Who's the guy from Seattle who came back and blew his knee up, but he doesn't want to get injured. So you got that situation, but it really did. It got me thinking about sideline skirmishes, and I started running down a list of them and see how many I could remember, and they're all pretty funny. I mean, the main one comes back to Latrell Sprewell and P.J. Carlissimo. Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride. Carlos Zambrano, remember that one? And Michael Barrett for the Cubs. Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent. You guys, if you didn't follow San Francisco when Bonds was tearing up the league, helped or not helped, this guy is an afterthought now, but he was considered the best second baseman in baseball, Jeff Kent. But he was boring, and he was kind of snarky. And then you can't have two of those type of guys on the same team, especially when the other one is an all-time great. If I'm not mistaken, I think Jeff Kent owns the record for the most home runs by a second baseman. I believe it was Ryan Sandberg before that, but I think Jeff Kent passed him. Anyway, they got into it on the sidelines. And it's just funny. You look for other things to amuse yourself as you're watching these games. 404-741-0929. I'm still waiting to find out where my upset is going to come from today. And then this Monday Night Football game that was moved. Do we need to be playing games in Mexico City?
I like the idea of what they're trying to do by expanding, you know, the league into other countries and whatnot. I'm a bigger fan of Mexico City than I am Europe, since it doesn't require a flight across an ocean.
Yeah, but the problem is you won't get killed in Europe, and your family won't get kidnapped.
Possibly, yeah. I mean,
you got a quarterback who's making millions of dollars. Let's bring up a scenario here, and I'm not reaching for this one. Let's say New England's playing in Mexico City, and somebody down there finds out where Giselle and the rest of the family is staying, and they're maybe going to go shopping, or they're going to go to this and that. Who are you looking to grab if you're one of these guys down in Mexico? You're going to grab Tom Brady's family or a family member. And I know people laughing at me and they go, you idiot. But this kind of crap happens down there all the time. And they go after people with deep pockets.
You're You're going all man on fire on us, dude. Like,
I'm just saying.
I guess when you put it through that perspective, like, that's not something I would have thought about. But, yeah, I guess you are kind of putting
them
in danger. Now, is Tom Brady and Giselle really going to go shopping in Mexico? I mean, they might.
No, they might not.
They'll have their cronies do it for them. But they could still get snatched out of a hotel,
exactly,
I guess.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. They're not going to be held up. I see maps all the time of Mexico of areas where not to go. Acapulco is one of them. But that whole region, that whole area they talk about. Now, mind you, yes, the NFL is going to have security and a half down there. And they're probably going to school these people on where to go and where not to go. And they're going to have drivers. And they're going to do all their due diligence. But come on. There's got to be some other places that we can go to. Listen, people are trying to pull that NFL game out of Hawaii, that the Pro Bowl, and they're moving it around right now. I'd rather have a game there, a game that means something for a week. Have your fans go there as opposed to trying to get there for the Pro Bowl. Let's say if the Falcons were playing the Saints in Hawaii as opposed to that game being played in Mexico City. How many people you think would jump on a plane from those two cities?
I'm sure some people would find some excuses.
You see what I'm saying?
Or even Toronto, maybe.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that in a dome. I'll take a game up in Montreal. I'll take a game in Vancouver. But Mexico City, I'm sorry. Clean that joint up some down there. And I like me some Mexico. I love the obvious places, the Cozumel and Cancun. I used to like, you know, go visit family in California and drive down to Tijuana. I have had very nice experiences in Mexico. Learned a lot about the Mayans. But I've also heard horror stories ad nauseum about that place. And if the NFL is looking to continue to find a revenue stream by playing a game in another country, in another big city, I mean, come on. Crime rate down there is getting scary. And you got a bunch of millionaires who are bringing their families there, and those are the ones those guys are looking for. That's just me. I don't want anybody hurting my NFL players or baseball players or whatever. Again, Mr. Crenshaw is coming up here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Want to remind you that later on today, it's a game day. I can't do it like Sam, but it is a game day Saturday morning. He's with Georgia State, and they're playing Appalachian State. That pregame is at 2, kickoff at 2:30, and then NBA action later on, the Hawks and the Pacers, pregame at 6:30, tip-off at 7. And if you want to hear that Notre Dame-Syracuse game, is that where my upset's going to come, by the way? Is Syracuse going to step up? That's over on WAOK, 1380. Pregame at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. Coming up later on in the hour, like I said, we're going to go on the other side of the glass. There were some baseball awards that were given out. Bo's going to bring you up to speed on that. But Mr. Crenshaw is up next. Again, he is on the road with Georgia State. Want to find out if he's going to tell me what my upset today is. Get an update on what's going on with State and also some other things that are on his mind. That is up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg, and I can say that now confidently because we got Mr. Crenshaw on the phone. Good morning, man.
Hey, man.
I told you.
How are you?
What you laughing at already?
the odyssey that it was to get here to Hickory, North Carolina yesterday by bus.
Listen, the odyssey getting around 285 yesterday with folks trying to get out of town was probably just as cumbersome.
No. And I want to warn anybody that's coming from the metro Atlanta area, if you're going north into the Carolinas today, I'm sure they're going to have nice weather, so they'll be back out there doing road work in Spartanburg. It was reduced traffic down to one lane, and it stopped.
Whoa.
It completely stopped. And this was right around 4 o'clock yesterday. I don't know whose idea it was to do that on a major artery, you know, connecting different parts of the country. We got off at Spartanburg and went I-26 west toward Biltmore in Asheville. We went all the way over there to Asheville and then got on 40 and came back east to get to Hickory. We're still an hour away from Boone. That's where we stand. An hour away from Boone, where today's game between Georgia State and Appalachian State will be. So we were on the ride. I had Rand McNally out. We were riding with Ferdinand Magellan yesterday just to get to where we are.
two back-to-back traveling references. That was nice. All right, so you got there safely. Everybody good?
Yeah, everybody's good once we finally got here. We went through three movies.
Were any of them Good Morning Vietnam?
No, one was Trouble with the Curve.
which was filmed right here, which was the first movie. Wow, it's funny that you say that. That literally was the first movie I did casting call on.
Back
in 2011, Marinella Hume was doing it, and John Smoltz had a cameo in that.
Yes. There are a lot of people that they had like cameos because it was at, you know, what was then Turner Field and the race, but they were at different places. They shot some at Georgia Tech. They shot some at, I think, Luther Williams, about Macon. This was around the area, but it was the Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah,
and it was you know, sitting and watched it.
Clint likes working here in Georgia. And I got
What is that? He does. He comes here frequently.
He got some folks here to go back with him many years. He's got the tax break. He's got, you know, an easy get in and out of town, you know, with the airport. So.
Yeah.
There's worse places that can be here. There's another couple big names that are here right now. All right, Mr. Crenshaw, this has been my question for the show. I know you're going to talk about Georgia State, what they got going on, but where's my upset coming from today in college football? That makes me care. That makes me care about what's going to happen at the top and giving Georgia a chance to maybe ascend, assuming they're not going to lose. UMass ain't going to give them any problems. Who's got the problem today? Is it Notre Dame against Syracuse?
They have the best chance to have a problem, and it could come from some other place, but that's the one with the best chance to give a problem. It's because Syracuse is playing well, and we've seen them do it before. They knocked off Clemson last year. So, I mean, we've seen them do that. That's a game that bears watching, I think, nationally, of all of them. It could be one that does it. Citadel's not going to do anything.
I was just
going to
say, come on, hey, you have no faith in the Citadel?
they're just thankful for a nice visit to Tuscaloosa. I mean, it's Cupcake Saturday, and that's the whole thing. It's all over the place. Florida's playing like Idaho. I mean, it's just you know, kind of some bad games all over the place, but it's what we schedule this time of year.
Yeah.
The powerhouses get that program, that team is going to give them a little tune-up, let the starters play a little bit, and you got your big rivalry game coming up next week, Thanksgiving week. So that's... Yeah, that's the way the schedule's been, unless we're going to get a commissioner of college football, and the conference commissioners are not going to give up their pop for that to happen. And so that's kind of where we are.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw has joined his own show. He's on the road with Georgia State. They're taking on Appalachian State. Again, you can hear that game right here, pregame at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. Tell me what we need to know about Georgia State as they head into this game, man.
Wow, just need some good things to happen. The defense has been just struggling. A lot of youth in the secondary, and so if you get past that first level, teams have been kind of having their way. Appalachian State doesn't really look for big plays. They're grounded out. They like to pound you and just beat you down physically. That's what they love to do. And at least it's not going to be freezing cold up here today. A friend of mine sent me a picture yesterday morning of the field. It was covered with ice. But today it should get up to the low 50s, so it should be okay. That part of it. But still, App State is a tough team. They're looking forward to playing Troy next week for a shot in the conference championship game, and really to host the Sun Belt championship game here in Boone. They may get to see some snow for that, and when they play it. But Georgia State just needs to do some good things, get their running game going, hold on to the ball, don't turn it over, and try not to give up big plays. They have a chance against a Zapp team. Georgia State has never beaten App. Georgia State has never led in a game against App. That's just how dominant they've been.
All right, man. Well, listen, bring a win back, would you?
Well, we do our best.
Do your best. Stay warm on the sidelines. Otherwise, the coach will make you take your coat off. What did you think of that when you saw that this past week?
Who's that?
The Major Applewhite. You see that Major Applewhite trying to get Ed Oliver to take his coat off?
Yeah, I saw that. You know, just things on the sidelines. We've had interesting stuff on sidelines all week. We've had that along with Draymond Green, you know, and the things with Kevin Durant.
Oh, don't get me started with that. Let me ask you a question.
Entertaining stuff. Well, you know what? And one of the reasons why the Draymond Green goes the stuff along with the trade Washington has going on, along with Carmelo, whether or not he stays in Houston, because it's Cupcake Saturday. And so the NBA is really taking advantage of this and really putting their drama that we usually don't get tuned into until Christmas Day. We've gotten a good dose of it here the last couple of weeks because, like you say, there's no drama at the top of things with college football.
No, there's nothing. Again, we're talking about, you know, the one thing we haven't talked about, and, you know, there's really nothing more to add to it, but Zion Williamson. And everybody's waiting for his next time on the stage because, as you said, there's no movement in the sport that normally dominates this time of year. Now, mind you, it's the tail end, but still people are talking about college. Ooh, so-and-so's got to win again this week, otherwise they're going to lose their spot. You know, we don't have that conversation going on. So we're talking about Carmelo Anthony, who, by the way, is not exiting stage left gracefully.
No, I figured not. I wondered how that combination was going to go, how he's going to fit into that mix. You got two people already there who command the ball, and that's what he does. You know what I mean? So you had, you know, Chris Paul, and you got James Harden, guys who command the basketball. Now, where is he going to go? You know, so I wondered how that whole thing was going to work with him in Houston.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw's going to be back here tomorrow. We're going to be talking NFL, getting ready for that Cowboys matchup. There was something else I wanted to ask you, and, you know, as it was coming up,
Can we tip the cap to our folks over at SunTrust Park who have a football game today?
Yeah, they do.
But earlier this week, there was a big buzz over there because of the postseason awards that the Braves got. And I know Bo was
he's getting ready to talk about that, yeah.
Big time. Bo, that was a back story about the whole thing with Snitka. I don't know if you knew, are you familiar with the back story about when he got the word?
I was at
something this weekend by accident. Someone with knowledge of it because they were there. I'm not going to give her name, but she does work for the Braves, and she was telling this story to a group in a class. So I guess he doesn't mind saying it. You know, they were all sitting there in the clubhouse area near the clubhouse where he was waiting and on the hookup with MLB for them to talk to him and let him know whether or not he won it or not. And she got a buzz. Just a few minutes before they were supposed to make the announcement that he indeed had won. So they let us go get his wife and have her position, you know, in the room nearby and not let anybody know what's happening, but just she needs to be there with him just in case he wins it. And so they get her in there, don't let her know what's happening. And so there's some of the clubhouse guys in another room watching. And you know how sometimes something's on a delay, you know, and some other place, why, you know, it doesn't kill you when you're watching a game with somebody and they're watching the same game and a play happens before you see it. That's what happened with Snitker. The guys in the other room saw he won before he actually heard it on the air. And so she's hearing these guys hollering, screaming in the other room before he actually got their actual word from the guys on MLB Network. And so that was crazy. They did all these things to try to choreograph it perfectly to have his wife there and have a fresh reaction to what happened. And, you know, the guys in the next room find out and kind of blew it.
Not just tell the guy like 5 minutes before it's announced?
Yeah, you think he'd miss somebody else.
How many people could he possibly be with? Unless, did they have him on well, he couldn't have been on a live feed. So, come on, man, you can do better than that.
Well, Bo is going to talk all about this. When we go over on the other side of the glass next segment, Bo is going to talk about those postseason awards and Braves manager getting the award. So we're going to leave that to him. I want to ask you about something.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a part of an event that got canceled, moved? Actually, I'm talking about the Monday Night Football game that got moved from Mexico City up to
LA.
Yeah,
and because of the fires, they've decided to move the Cal-Stanford game.
Yeah.
That's going to be moved to December 1st?
Yep.
I guess so somebody can run over the Trump old player again. But no, nothing like that.
The 1982 reference you're bringing up, but one of the most famous videos. No, that was good. And John,
you know what? None of them in North Carolina. I could say another one. Prior to the Carolina Hurricanes, where the Hartford Whalers come into Raleigh to become the Carolina Hurricanes, there was an exhibition game planned for the old Hive, the place where the Charlotte Hornets played originally, not the new place. And the place wasn't equipped to make ice. But they had sold tickets because it was going to be a game with Gretzky's team coming to play an exhibition game. They're just trying to get the market and the state ready for the NHL. And they couldn't make ice in the place. It made slush. And they had sold thousands of tickets for people to come and see Gretzky, you know, the great one, play an exhibition game in Charlotte. And how embarrassing. You know, they left off $1 million, I think, they needed to give the refrigeration for the floor so they could make ice in the place. It was only designed for basketball. And so, you know, that was pretty embarrassing. That was an event that got canceled that had the edge on a lot of faces in Charlotte, which is right down the road. But yeah, this thing Monday night is pretty embarrassing because you've had all year to get your grass right, haven't you?
Well, they had a couple concerts that led up to it, but they had a whole year to know that the NFL was coming.
And
the money coming from the NFL. But as far as I'm concerned, they can move that game out of there. I talked about this the first segment. It's not a safe city. You don't have an enjoyable time as a fan base because you got to stay locked up in your hotel, because if you step out of it, there's a good chance that, you know, you might have some harm brought upon you. Or if you are known to be with one of these millionaire NFL players, a chance you might get kidnapped down there. And I'm not talking out of my, you know what. We hear these stories out of that country all the time, correct?
Yeah, I think the NFL has pretty good security, Greg.
The NFL, yeah. Now, you're going to put five people on everybody?
I think the NFL with pretty good security and pretty would advise anybody if they come into a situation.
Here's the thing, though, Sam.
I would think.
Why,
you know?
No, I agree with you 100%. But why would you want to go to a place where you have to walk around with security? This is supposed to be an enjoyable getaway from the norm. You know, we talk about – I was mentioning that the Pro Bowl is actually trying to move it out of Hawaii. But if you're going to take a game someplace, and Mexico has not been the most safest place for the last – X amount of decades or whatever, either go to Canada or take a game over to Hawaii. Case in point, let's say that next the Falcons-Saints game, and given their fan base, was moved to a neutral site, say that stadium in Hawaii. How many folks you think would be out of their hearts field trying to get a flight out there for that matchup, as opposed to going to Mexico City knowing that you can't walk around comfortably in Mexico City? That's just my thing.
Yeah, you probably can walk around. You just got to know where to go. I mean, that's the whole thing. If you're not from there, you wouldn't know. I would think security would be heightened for something like this. I really would. I wouldn't think it would be like your everyday, you know, security. I think it would be different for this because of that happening. I don't know how rampant it is. We hear about it from time to time. I'm sure there's a lot that we don't hear about. But, you know, if somebody wanted to go to the game, I don't think that would frighten them to the point that they would not go. But I think the fact that the facility is not at respects, you know, is inexcusable. There's no excuse for that. If you know you got a National Football League game coming and you know what that means locally to the money you're going to make, but also to the possibility of down the road. I mean, right now, they're taking more games to London than they are taking right down the street to Mexico. So, I mean, yeah, to me, you would want to have everything just right. You know, you had that going on.
I understand that. That's Mr. Crenshaw. He's on the road with Georgia State. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, man, you got to travel safely. Get back here tomorrow, bring a win. And I got your boy John Nelson coming up. We're going to talk some high school stuff top of the hour.
Well, we had some upsets last night, and your folks got done in pretty bad by the coach with the visor down in Colquitt.
God. Well, save it. let John tell me about it, man. You'll be here tomorrow?
Be there. See you tomorrow.
All right, that's Sam Crenshaw. He's on the road with Georgia State. I'm Greg. I'm back here at the house. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning. This is Greg. On this weekend, we got a lot of people trying to head out of town. Got a lot of people arriving, a lot of family. Going to be a long week of folks coming in and out of town. Drive very, very carefully. Not necessarily an amateur weekend, but just one of those where it's got a lot of folks heading into town. Luckily, the bad weather has moved up the East Coast, and so we're looking for a little nippy, but still pretty good weekend. All right, time going to the other side of the glass with Bo.
As you were saying earlier, congratulations to Brian Snicker, manager of the Atlanta Braves, for winning Manager of the Year, first time ever. On an 18-game improvement, went from 72 and 90 last year to 90 and 72 in 2018.
Congrats, yeah.
That's huge. 40-plus year man with the same organization. Well-deserved. And a well-deserved extension on top of it.
Yes, he did. Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations also to Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin. On a 22-game improvement over 2017, Bob Melvin, the only manager to win Manager of the Year three times.
All with Oakland, or was he with
somebody? Two with Oakland and with the Diamondbacks in 2007.
That's right. I forgot about that one. How do you feel about that one, though, going to him this year as opposed to Cora?
I'm all right with it. I mean, it's a coin toss, you know. I think he had the biggest improvement over last year is maybe how he probably edged Cora out. But, I mean, the most dominant team in MLB, but, I mean.
I always got a problem when an award goes to Oakland because they got, like, a football field of foul ground.
Correct.
So a lot of outs.
They will never win Stadium of the Year.
Exactly.
Until they get a new one, possibly. Also, over in MLB, the Rookie of the Year awards were handed out. The Angels' Shohei Ohtani, the 2018 version of Babe Ruth, he has been dubbed, wins American League Rookie of the Year. 10 pitching appearances, 20 homers in a season. Last player since Babe Ruth to do so.
Did we talk about this? If you were a manager, if you were GM of that team, would you pull him off of doing one or the other? I mean, how long can you do this? How long can he continue to do this?
Well, how long can he sustain the velocity after one elbow surgery already?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In his fastball. So what would you have him do? Would you? I don't think that if you want him to be a pitcher, I don't think hitting is a detriment to that.
No, I don't think one affects
the
other.
He's DHing, so it's not like he plays in the field and he's wearing his body down a whole lot. Not that hitting doesn't take away from your stamina, and I got no problem with it.
There is a category as far as the pay you give to pitchers compared to everyday players, too. So as a general manager, that would come into a conversation at some point.
Yeah, I can see that maybe. But, I mean, surely if they were to, especially in a league with no salary cap, if they were to limit his hitting or his pitching production and kind of –
that I could – yeah, there's got to be
because of not having to pay him more, then that's kind of just Bush League right there. So a 3.31 ERA, 63 strikeouts in 10 pitching appearances. And then at the plate, 285, 925 OPS, 22 home runs, and 10 stolen bases as a hitter. So, I mean, not bad.
Not bad.
And then jumping over to the American League, our very own Ronald Acuna Jr. wins, or did I say American? National League Rookie of the Year. 26 home runs, 16 steals, 552 slugging. One of five players hit 26 home runs before his 21st birthday. Congratulations, Ronald Acuna Jr. Well-deserved.
The last Brave to win Rookie of the Year, was it for call?
I think it might have been, yeah.
2000?
The Cy Young Award winners, Jake DeGrom.
That's where the conversation starts.
After winning only 10 games.
Yep.
Wins the National League Cy Young with an ERA of 1.7, but his record was 10-9. How you feel about that?
I got no problem with him getting it. If for no other reason to have the people who don't understand why he won it pulling their hair out. It's not always about a check in the W column. You know, there every once in a while there's the anomaly where a player gets an award that goes to a player on a much more successful team. The benchmark is Andre Dawson, won MVP on the Cubs, 87 Cubs, who were in last place.
Now, see, there are naysayers that are against DeGrom getting this award because you still have to win the games. Wins matter. Right. I agree with that, but it's an individual award. So individual performance should be the most accounted for thing. Now, here's a stat for you. Had the Mets averaged 3 runs a game or more, Jacob DeGrom would have been 30-0.
Get out of here.
That's insane to think about. Had they averaged 2 runs a game or more, he would have been like 25-5. So the Mets' inability to score runs. Now, Jake DeGrom does bat. He's a National League hitter,
but come on, man.
He deserved 1.7 ERA. Yeah.
Well, the ERA is what sells it for me. But you're saying,
absolutely. Yeah.
I never heard that stat before.
Yeah. That's crazy.
If they'd have got average three.
Just a little bit of run support. That's how dominant he was, though. Yeah. So that's when you got to look outside the wins and losses, because Scherzer, I think, was like 18-9, had just as many losses as DeGrom did, you know. So congratulations. Then on to the MVP awards. Mookie Betts edges out Mike Trout.
Well, wait, you left out Snell for the American League.
Oh, yeah. So Blake Snell wins the American League Cy Young Award. The funniest thing about the Blake Snell story, 21 wins, 189 ERA, so he kind of just blew that one out of the water.
Yeah. I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Is immediately asked the next day to take a drug test.
Oh, that's
Blake Snell was.
That's not where I thought you were going, but I hadn't heard that one. Did you hear the news out of Houston?
I didn't.
Kate Upshaw is not going to Tampa Bay ever again. Upton.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not going to Tampa Bay anymore because Verlander didn't win it.
So why would she not go to Tampa just because Blake Snell plays in Tampa?
Because he plays in Tampa.
Do you think Kate Upton's ever really even been to Tampa?
I'm sure that's
going to be a big cross off of her list.
Any place there's a beach. They got a casino there now, too.
Got the award on Wednesday. Was asked to take a drug test on Friday or Thursday, actually, the very next day. Yeah.
Upshaw. I don't know where I got that.
American League MVP, like I was saying, Mookie Betts. World Series champ. You think that had anything to do with it, edging out Trout? No, he did have the best season of his career, a phenomenal season, for the team that won the World Series. So
there were some anomalies this year. I mean, I got no problem with either one of these guys winning it, but the Bryce Harper year, going into free agency. The Mike Trout thing you're talking about. It's just a lot of strange stuff. And, of course, Jacob DeGrom. The guy gets better when he cuts his hair. How about that?
Yeah.
He's the other way around.
That has a psychological effect on people, you know? 346 average, 47 doubles, 5 triples, 32 home runs, 129 runs scored, 80 RBIs, and 30 stolen bases did one Mookie Betts have this season. A phenomenal season for him. And then Christian Yelich for the Milwaukee Brewers, after posting a 770 slugging percentage after the All-Star break, which is just crazy to think about. Great second half. He turns it on when they needed him the most. Brewers make the playoffs but get ousted. Christian Yelich, the National League MVP.
All right. I got actually a question for you. First of all, I got two questions for you. One is, happy birthdays go out to Nick Markakis today. It is his 35th birthday.
Happy birthday, Cakes.
But there's another baseball player who shares his birthday. Not only shares it, they were born on the same day. And the hint is, it's tied to something that you just mentioned, one of the awards. This person won one of the awards that was born on the same day as Markakis.
So let's say he's 35 now?
Yep. And you even mentioned his team.
Let's see. I'm kind of stumped.
Ryan Braun.
Braun, okay.
Braun was born on the same day as Markakis.
All right.
35 years old today. So anyway, also.
So I got one more thing here.
Oh, go ahead.
So
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
It turns out, ironically, that the Florida Marlins have now traded away the last two MVPs in Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich. If that's not something you could build a team around, I'm not sure what is. Isn't that crazy to think about?
Well, Derek Jeter's only responsible for one, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Because he'd have
or wasn't was he not there? No, he traded
Giancarlo
Stanton to the Yankees, yeah. And Yelich left after he did. Yeah. Didn't he? Or Yelich was.
I think I thought he was already gone. We'll look into that.
Might be the same year. Either way, so the Marlins last week, after the quarterly meeting for the MLB owners, announced that they were changing up their uniforms yet again.
They did a Sonny Crockett. They did a Tubbs and Crockett thing.
Yeah.
And they
got rid of the statue. They're turning that into a high-end club out there in center field.
They should. I could see that.
Yeah. And now they're changing the uniforms because I guess that's going to make them win games next year. We'll see about that.
The only Toronto Blue Jay ever to win an MVP, it happened on this date. The first person to win an MVP for that organization, it happened on this date. This is one of those insignificant tidbits.
How long ago was this?
It was in the late 80s. Okay. The first time a Toronto Blue Jay ever won an MVP, and it happened on this date. Take a swing.
Toronto. Late 80s, though? I mean, yeah. So it's not Joe Carter.
No.
It just missed him.
George Bell.
Okay, all right.
George Bell, 87. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.